Hello and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 103. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And we're here this week to talk to you about threes.
Yeah, apparently so. I'll go ahead and jump in here with Mass Effect 3, released on Tuesday. I've had a decent time hands-on with the game so far. Mix of both the single player and multiplayer, which the multiplayer is really nice because they didn't just seem to tack it on there. It's a cooperative multiplayer, so it's usually between 1 to 4 players versus either Cerberus, the Geth, or the Reapers. And you'll have a total of 10 rounds to survive and then get extracted, and you'll have to complete 3 objectives during those 10 rounds, which come every 3 rounds approximately. And the objectives are random. They're between either having to get to 4 different points, each of which come up sequentially, and either enable or disable the device depending on what's going on, what they need you to do. Or you have to hack a mainframe in order to get vital data, or take out 4 priority targets. And these targets can range between just the foot soldiers to the big giant guys like mechs, or basically the people that the Reapers that charge you and try to kill you at close range. It hurts. And you usually want to avoid them when they're charging. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of fun, and the success in the multiplayer actually does relate to the single player. By once you get a character up to level 20 in the multiplayer, he is shipped to the war effort in the single player in order to make you more successful in taking back Earth from the Reapers that invaded it in the opening of the game. And I think that's one of the few things I can say without saying spoiler alert, since it happened in the demo. And then as for the single player, I'm really enjoying that. I've played more of the single player than the multiplayer. There's good story. There's some twists that I didn't really see coming so far. And I'm looking forward to playing a lot more of it and getting it finished up. But I'm trying to find the nice medium of preparing for the war effort in the multiplayer, but continuing the story in the single player. I know Irish Pride said he has gotten his first character up to level 20 already and shipped him off. And I know other people have done far more than that. But they have more free time than I do.
You just need to stop, like, sleeping. Just like my bro. Just, you don't need to sleep. You spend the extra 4 hours a night playing games.
But I like my sleep. It was bad enough today losing an hour.
Tell me about it. Ugh.
But yeah, so far the game's real enjoyable. I don't want to say too much about it, about the at least the single player, because I could accidentally spoil something, and I don't want to do that. But the basis of it is, it's a lot like, the story portion is a lot like your other Mass Effect games. You're able to make choices, and depending on those choices, have lasting effects for the rest of the game. For example, if you make choice A instead of choice B, that could affect the morale of the soldiers in a positive or negative way. And so far, depending on if you allow them to survive, I let all my guys survive, so I'm not sure how this is changing the story, but I've seen a number of my teammates from Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3, which has been nice. Although, kind of what would have happened if Garrus would have died, because Garrus is, one of your teammates in Mass Effect 3. He's the one character that seems to always be on your team throughout the entire blasted game, entire series so far.
Maybe he couldn't have died in Mass Effect 2.
Well, in theory, if you would have put him through the environmental system to hack the doors, he would have been the one that died doing that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wonder about that now. Not that I want to find out, because I worked hard to make sure all my people survived so I could see them in Mass Effect 3.
Can't be like my brother who just has happened for dumb luck.
Yeah, seriously. I failed the first time and lost, like, 2 guys. So I'm glad they're around this time, because I've actually seen them in other missions, which has been kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the multiplayer, they have an interesting way of unlocking stuff. Instead of having to get achievements or reaching a certain milestone, you basically get money every time you complete one of the missions you set out. Mm-hmm. And you can spend that money on either a starter pack, Spectre pack, or there's a medium pack between those. And depending on the pack you get, depends on what kind of level stuff you get. The Spectre pack gives you the rarest items, mm-hmm. but it also costs the most credits. Mm-hmm. Or you can also, you know, buy you can spend real money, but spend BioWare points in order to get them. But I recently unlocked a Krogan Sentinel, so I do a lot of charging with him, running straight into a melee combat and then one-shotting an enemy by headbutting him or bashing him with my gun. Instead of shooting him with a gun, I just bash him with it. The sad thing is, it is usually more effective. But it's a lot of fun, because then I go into Blood Rage and I do more damage and take less damage at the same time. Which was really handy when I was in close combat with something that should, by all rights, have killed me. But it's a lot of fun. If you haven't played it, I highly advise. If you haven't even started the series yet, I would suggest PC. I think I've noticed that the control scheme is better than the console system. So I highly advise getting it on PC if you haven't. I have played it on both Xbox and PC, and I just think it works a little better on PC, especially, as everybody knows, when you're aiming with a gun in a video game, mouse and keyboard is better than controller.
Yeah, typically.
And I'm going to go ahead and stop my Mass Effect 3 ramblings here, because I will undoubtedly continue these next week.
Yeah. I had the great fortune of this week finding a Diablo 3 key in my mailbox, and so I've been playing that.
Yay, Diablo 3.
It's like Diablo 2, but shinier, and a lot of the things that were somewhat frustrating in Diablo 2 have been revamped. So, you know, like having the architecture phase so it's easy to see your character at all times.
That's always handy. It's amazing how such a little thing such as the camera always makes such a big difference in the game.
Yeah.
You're all like, what am I trying to kill? It's trying to kill me. I can't see it.
Yeah.
Or it's too dark and I can't see. I'm like, there's a thing about atmosphere that I know everybody complained too much. Like, oh, it's not dark enough. I'm like, I'm so far from the atmosphere, you know, creepy enough. I'm like, when I'm going to places, even
though it's like that guy that tried to Photoshop you, like, it should be, you know, the gamma should be more like this. And it's like, then you couldn't see, like, all the kind of cool architectural details that are, you know, outside of sort of the play area. And it's like, they put a lot of time into those.
They were walking over a bridge, there was a waterfall, and there's a rainbow at the bottom of the waterfall. So we turned it all rainy and got rid of the rainbow because he said a rainbow was too cheery for Diablo. It's like, but
that's what happens in nature!
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like, there's a little bit of sunlight out. Oh, look! There's, like, mist. There's going to be refraction. There is going to be a rainbow, and it's subtle.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, there's unicorns flying through the rainbow pooping out diamonds or something. That would be that Diablo 3.
I guess it goes to the saying, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts, or in this case, physics.
Okay, now actually I can't get that out of my mind. It's unicorns pooping out diamonds.
Flying through rainbows.
Yes. No, but it's a whole lot of fun. I'm playing a monk. I wade into combat. I bash things up. It's great.
Your chain lightning come out of your fists.
Yeah, I changed that rune. I went to a different ability, so I don't have that rune anymore.
I missed the chain lightning. Well, no. I've been playing wizard, so.
No, I got the one so that instead I have the my one that like does like where I like punch and like sends like a, you know, thing of force through the air. It makes it bigger.
Ah.
So. That's quite useful.
I've been using Ray of Frost. Ray of Frost is very nifty.
Yeah. And I just unlocked the crafting, and that seems pretty fun.
Do you need to have magical items
for it? Yes, you do use magical items.
Oh, that's one thing we have noticed since Proteus let me, you know, put my own character on there to try on his account so we can try different things so we're not like, oh, I want to try this other class, but I'm still liking this class, so it kind of covers both, and I was doing the wizard, all the money between your characters' pools.
Yeah, that was funny when Tigerhawk found that one out because he had saved all this money up to buy something on his character. And then he quit for the night and was going to do it the next morning. Then his brother logged on afterwards and ended up spending all the money because he didn't know it was pooled money.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like,
It's nice because it's the money is shared, the stash space is shared, so you don't, you know, if you want to move something from one character to the other, you just put it in stash and then take it out with the other character.
Technically, it's easier to have mules then too.
And then you don't have to do the old, you know, log into a public, you know, log into the, you know, BattleNet, make a game with a password, and then throw everything on the ground, and then run and, you know, like kind of run around for 5 minutes so that the game is saved. And then come back, log in with the other character, go into the game, pick everything up.
And try to do that before the server quits out and you lose all your stuff.
Yeah.
There was the rare time when you could actually, when your friends would be, it's like, hey, I need to do this. Can you be in this server for a while for me?
And you'd be just like, oh yeah, I'm going to try and kill Diablo or, you know, whatever.
I'm going to do a bail run.
And they're like, enjoy.
But I've been having fun. Frost Nova is very nifty. Frost Nova is very life-saving.
Amen to that. There is a rumor that Diablo 3 is going to be launched next month.
April?
Yeah. It's a rumor.
Do you get to keep your character from beta?
No.
No.
Oh.
You do have to start from scratch.
Can yeah. I keep just those couple items that have made me uber?
No.
However, you can buy them.
Yeah. For real money.
Assuming somebody's selling them.
Oh, somebody will be selling them.
Yeah, you'll be able to find anything you want for cash.
I'm sorry. See, this is what sucks, though, is we only have one computer currently that can run Diablo 3, and there's two of us.
I'm sorry.
I want to play, but I want to be weird, not play with anybody else. I want to play by myself.
Then just don't be connected to the internet.
Yeah, because, well, I have to.
You have to be connected to the internet to log on, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm just always going to play by myself.
By default, games are private. So, you know, it's no issue. You can set it to, I think you can change the default to any friends can always see your games. Which is, you know.
I'm fine with that.
Which is fine.
Need a new computer.
Okay, everyone, go to thegameslave.com and donate to the Zelda Queen and Proteus Need a Computer Fund.
Because we've been saying we need to buy another new computer for the past 2 years, and it hasn't happened, because every time we think we have the money, something else comes up.
Pretty much.
Like, this year, it's taxes.
Ugh.
Ooh, taxes.
Yeah, because you bought a home.
No, because we forgot to change withholding when Zelda Queen got a job. Yeah.
So that was our bad. We fixed that already.
Yes,
but you owe taxes this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
We fixed withholding. We're also upping our charitable contributions and our retirement contributions. So. We're hiding money from the IRS.
Legally. Legally, that's the important part.
Yes, legally.
Well, we'll get taxed eventually on the
retirement fund. Yeah, the 401k stuff gets taxed
that's
later.
That's just like 40 years from now.
Yeah, I got money back from taxes, but this will probably be the last year I get as much as I did. Because for the year before, Care Bear and I had our taxes still set as if we were single instead of married.
Right.
Well, then when we both changed jobs, because I changed contracting companies and had to redo my tax paperwork, and she got a new job and had to change her tax paperwork. So we both changed it to the correct withholding.
To withhold more nearly exactly nearly what you need to have withheld.
Exactly. We're trying to meet that nice thing where we actually get our money throughout the year instead of the IRS holding it interest-free for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's me.
Well, on the bright side, next year, because you have a house, you should be able to get more money back.
Yeah, see, this was the problem. Since we got halfway through the year,
we hadn't paid enough in interest yet. Well, that meant our interest rate is rather low because we just bought the house when interest rates were like,
but they're not as low as they are now.
They're still pretty low.
Yeah, still pretty low. So it's just like, darn, we don't even beat the standard deduction yet.
Wow, that was a tangent. Yes. We went from Diablo 3 to taxes. It's kind of geeky.
Well, we were hoping to use our tax refund to buy a computer.
That was the intention.
Yeah, mine ended up going to a mattress.
And now it's like the opposite. So instead of, you know, having money spent on a computer, we're having to, like, scrimp around to try and make sure we've got enough to pay the taxes.
I'm sorry. That always sucks. Should we move on, though?
Yes, stop talking about her. Woe is me, IoT.
So,
it's not too bad. It's not as bad as what it could have been.
So, speaking of other things that we can't afford and trying to figure out how it would work, Valve, instead of talking about the release date on Half-Life Episode 3 or Half-Life 3, they have started talking about making their own console, or at least that's the rumor. And I'm trying to figure out exactly how that would work, because I basically think of the Valve console as my computer on my desk.
Yeah, with Steam there, you just get everything automatically there. So I don't see what the point is.
So would it be something like a on-live console hybrid where you purchase the game from Steam, it starts to download it, and you're able to play the game as it downloads? It just starts downloads the area you'd see first and then does the rest later? Does it do it all server-side? Is everything stored in the Steam cloud? I'm kind of curious how this is actually going to work.
I'm pretty much imagining just, you know, Steam on a console.
And then how powerful do they make that console? Are we doing average, where the computer, a person's computer is still going to be better than the actual console? Are they going to go high-end? And how are they going to make this thing actually economically feasible for people to buy? Because already we have three consoles. We have Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft. Do we really need a fourth console out there? I'm at four if I count my online micro console. I just kind of am curious how this is all going to work.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that we'd be at, you know, market saturation for console, you know, systems, basically. You know, it's like there's...
Rampage thinks not.
Seriously, so we have to be there. I mean, all these game systems have had their, you know, game lives, but, I guess this is my thing. I don't know if I'm going to buy a new generation console at this point. And I'll start switching.
I mean, it just seems like you have, you know, the bro console, the high-end, you know, kind of excessively technical console, and the family console.
So we're doing Wii, Xbox, and PS3?
Wait.
No, not necessarily that. The bro console, come on.
Are you calling me a bro?
I am calling people who play Gears bros.
Gears and Halo.
And Modern Warfare now.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. It's not going to be...
Holy crap, I just realized my brother's a bro! Ah!
Here's what I'm thinking. It's not going to be a console in as of itself. It is going to be basically a PC gaming computer as hardware.
So,
a console?
An Alienware.
something of that line. If they could make it shaped like a companion cube, I'm all for it.
Actually, I will admit, if they made the console that looked like a companion cube, they would sell like three times as many. You know it's true.
I would never destroy my companion cube.
I will not burn it in a fire. Your house is on fire. Damn it!
Well, there goes that plan.
Well, I didn't burn it on purpose. I didn't put it into an artificial intelligence incineration chute.
Okay, that's enough Portal.
But I am just curious to see if the rumor is true and they are trying to create some sort of console, how they're going to pull it off, what its actual designs, its internal designs. The outside, a cube would be cool, but a cube is hard to fit into a standard system. It would be actually probably more convenient if something, you know, thin and rectangular, because you can fit that into more areas that are already made to exist for that.
Yeah, most people's entertainment centers have, you know, small, you know, not very tall, wide shelves.
Exactly.
Yeah,
slots. Slots for things.
Yes.
Well, of course, rumor has it that Razer wants to start making their own PC gaming computers as well, so
that's not a rumor. They are doing that.
Oh, they are?
Remember that tablet that has two controllers on both sides that runs a full version of Windows?
I thought that was a mock-up. I didn't know.
No,
that's
real.
Wow.
I just want all the console makers to build their things into something equivalent to like a Blade server system, so you can just like have a stand and just slide everything in and it's all plugged in and connected.
That would be awesome. That'd be like that R2-D2 gaming console somebody made. Is he actually did that. He made all the hardware go into an R2-D2 shell, and he has like a little slot for all the controllers, so he just plugs the controller into the R2-D2 and it's all right there.
Meanwhile, somewhere Lucas is planning on suing him.
Wasn't that the one they also had used a projector in it,
yeah,
basically, instead of having a TV?
Damn it, that's pretty cool.
That is awesome.
I almost had holo projector there, and I was like, wait, that doesn't exist yet.
Yet. Give it time.
Yeah, we got people working on that. That's my thing, yes.
It's like all very... Anywho.
Little puppies.
So, that's all I have to say on the Valve console. You guys have anything else you want to add?
I just find it crazy. I don't think I'm going to buy one. I'm already debating hard enough if I'm going to buy a new Nintendo Woo at this point. Mostly just because I want Zelda.
Well, I'm curious on the Nintendo Wii U. I want to see what Microsoft announces for the Xbox. Let's just call it the Loop, since that was the code name for it that I've heard.
Well, 360 is already a Loop, so maybe two 360s. That's what, 720?
It is 720, but I've heard it called the Loop.
Is it like the Infinity Loop that they're doing right now?
That might be what they go to next.
Xbox Infinite.
I don't think Sony probably wants to upgrade yet. Their machine's still pretty...
No, they're just hitting their stride. They're flying for a... I mean, look how long the PlayStation lasted.
10 years.
Yeah.
Is when the PlayStation 2 is how long the PS2 lasted. And they actually said that the PlayStation is going to have... The PlayStation 3 is going to have a 10-year lifespan.
Yeah.
And when they first said it, I'm like, yeah, right. But now I'm thinking, okay, actually, I could see that.
Yeah.
I don't even really want a new Xbox, but I see why they need one when I compare, you know... graphical advances that have been made.
Yeah, I'm only now considering picking up a PS3, and that's just because I want a Blu-ray player. But I also want a Blu-ray player that can play Pandora, so I'm looking at a cheaper one.
I have no desire yet for a PS3. There is not any games I can borrow it for, and I know that's sad. I know there's stuff on there.
I mean, it's just, one thing is, you know, Final Fantasy has been
Final Fantasy lackluster. Took a weird turn.
Once around it, 7.
Well, then it's on multiple systems, though, so you don't even need a PlayStation for it.
No.
10 was just like a movie you kept pressing buttons on.
Yes.
Well, the little bit that I played of, like, 8 even, is just, like, run along this path that you cannot deviate from.
Yeah, which I did not like, because I am all about old school 6, where I'm like, I'm going to go just randomly explore things now. Oh, I should
have... Oh, look, ogres!
Oh. Run away!
Well, yeah, there's sometimes you go to places you're like, look, I wasn't meant to come here yet. I mean, there's stuff like that, you know, that's really fun. That a lot of the modern Final Fantasy's totally taken away because they just make you on this track. Because they claim they cannot render a free world in a console game.
Sure they can. It's called a sandbox game. They do a lot of them lately. MLR's big, Infamous, I mean, or...
They squashed a lot of things in there, even for Skyrim on the Xbox.
Yeah, Skyrim it's like, we can't render a full game. Have you seen Skyrim? It's all on one disc. The entire blasted game, and that's a huge world.
They had to have found some ways to, like, mathematically reduce stuff, basically. It's like, it's a tree. Generate random tree based on this formula kind of thing.
But they still did a good job at it. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying. Sure, they might have found a way to reduce it, but they could, you know, that shows that the Final Fantasy people, Square, is just kind of being lazy.
Square, I think, is kind of stuck in, like kind of an older mindset. I mean, they probably looked at Skyrim and just like, eh, we don't want none of that newfangled Skyrim stuff.
Here's my problem.
And get off my lawn!
Here's my problem with it. In the 1990s and early 2000s, Japanese games are where it's at. That's where you saw a lot of innovation. That's where you saw a lot of fun.
Now we've moved on to the Western side.
Exactly. Well, Western and European. That's where you're seeing all the good game innovations come now. That's where you're seeing all the fun. Like BioWare's in Canada. Ubisoft is in, I think they're in France.
I think they have a branch in Canada too, but yeah.
Yeah, because that's who Archangel works for.
We're seeing all the innovation from North American and European publishers. The Japanese, as the Japanese do a lot, unfortunately, have gotten so stuck in a rut of tradition that they have forgotten how to innovate.
I sometimes feel that, though, for, like, generally all games. I feel like the titles back in the day were, like, totally around. They're like, let's try making a game about XYZ together, and they would just do it. I don't know if it's because the cost of things now anymore is so prohibitive that you have to spend so much money to make something that will return anything that everyone's like, nope, let's do, you know, such and such 12. Which, you know...
Well, that's why we're seeing more stuff, more of the original stuff is coming out of the indie developers and crowdsourcing now instead of the big publishers, because the big publishers want to know their investment is safe. If the investment is something that is completely unknown, it's not necessarily that safe for them, and they're going to want to not necessarily fund it. Let's take, for example, the Tim Schafer thing with the Double Fine Adventures. Who in this age was going to fund him a point-and-click adventure game? Seriously. It wasn't going to happen. So he went to, what was it? The crowdsourcing thing.
Oh, Kickstarter?
Kickstarter. He made $1 million in a day. He only wanted $400,000.
Give him a little bit more room to play with stuff.
Well, now he says, like, okay, we've got all this money.
We're gonna I could hire someone else to help me with this.
He's going
to
have better voice acting. He's going to have it on all systems. Except for maybe, what's the system? It's not going to be playable on your TiVo. Unless your TiVo is Linux installed.
Okay, we have people who are doing Linux on their TiVos?
It's a possibility. I could see people doing that. I don't really know for sure. I'm just saying. Basically, he's making it available on all systems. Android, Apple, like the iPod, iPad, then the actual Macintosh OS, Windows, Linux, and then on all the consoles as well. So he's making it fully available because he got more money than he expected to. So that's actually, I think, kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's all I really have to say on that.
Do you have anything you want to add?
I had something else about Diablo 3. I just thought something while we were talking about stuff. It likes to randomly sort of change things once in a while between games, which is kind of nice. Like, places that you can go into. When Proteus was playing, he had like a dark cellar and a well that he went down to. But when I played, there was no well. Dark cellar was there, but when I went into Ultrastum, there was another cellar. Which was it in his game. So there's some nice randomness. I kept finding two demon treasure hunters who every time you hit them, they drop gold.
Yeah, I ran into two treasure hunters in the last round that I was playing. And also I redid the event with the woman who wants you to, like, that her bones have been desecrated.
Oh, yeah.
And so I redid it. So I was like, yay, more experience points! Basically.
So, do you guys have anything else you want to add, or are we good for today, then? All right. Well, you can go ahead and find us on Facebook, or you can also follow us on Twitter at TheGameSlave. You can find us on the web at www.thegameslave.com, where you can see our store, articles we wrote, such as my conspiracy theory that H.P. Lovecraft warned us about the Reapers 200-plus years before Shepard found the Prothean Beacon. In the meantime, everybody have a great day, and game on!
Game on!
Game on!